Welcome to the Runners Connect Run to the Top podcast, where it's all about learning from the best minds in the sport so you can train smarter, stay healthy, and run faster now. And now your host, Tina Muir.
Hello, this is Tina Muir. Welcome to the Runners Connect Run to the Top podcast. We all have to run on our own sometimes. Those moments where you can be alone with your thoughts, let your mind run wild, and you can just think about whatever you want. It's always fascinating to reflect on the places your mind goes and what you end up thinking about. Do you ever find that you come up with a crazy idea? Something that you would like to challenge yourself to do, but then you swat it away? Nah, I could never do that. What a silly idea, you think to yourself. But what if you didn't swat that idea away? What if you added that to a list? A list that you work your way through and push yourself in new ways as often as you can. That is what my guest today is known for. He takes inspiration and ideas from all over the running world and tries out all kinds of challenges. We have some exciting news for you about that towards the end. Stay tuned. Before you start thinking so, my guest was not an all-star in college. He has not broken 4 in the mile. And when he raced his first marathon, he was in the back corrals, wondering if he would ever make it across the start line to actually begin the race. My guest today is real proof that you will never know unless you try. This podcast is really going to get you thinking about what you can achieve, and maybe, just maybe, the next time that idea comes into your head about a challenge, maybe you will act on it. And you can also learn more about yourself than you ever would have before. So who is this brave and challenging guest? My guest today is Mike Wardian. Mike is sponsored by 25 companies, including Hoka One, Nathan, The Stick, and Sweetgreen. He finished 5th place in the Terawera Ultramarathon 100K in Rotorua, New Zealand. He was the US 50K champion in 2008, 2009, 10, and 2011. He was the 2008 100K champion. He holds the world record for pushing a stroller in the marathon between 2007 and 2009. That was a time of 2:34:37, if you're wondering. He holds the fastest 50K world record on a treadmill, 2:59:47, and he is a 4-time recipient of the USA Track and Field Ultra Runner of the Year award. So what are Mike and I going to talk about? We're going to talk about how different challenges all have their own unique way of making you stronger, even if they are all races. How to know when to pull the plug on a race and what things to listen to your body about while racing. Why it's fun to do things that scare you, even if they don't work out. Why you should try things you're not particularly good at, even if it means coming in last. And finally, Mike's story about how he ran 2 50K races within 36 hours on a cruise, on a treadmill, both world record attempts and successes, which you will hear more about that. It's a great story. So you ready to meet Mike? Let's do it. Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast, Mike.
Hey, it's great to be on. Thanks so much for having me.
And we're excited to talk to you. So let's start with, I listed your accomplishments a little in the intro and talked about your world records, but could you tell us a little more about you? Like, who is Mike Wardian?
Sure. I'm a marathon and ultra marathon runner, but I run really any distance from 1 mile and so far up to 135 miles at one point. Later this year, I'm going to do a race called the Spartathlon, which is about 154 miles or 250 kilometers. I race roads and trails and tracks and running on treadmills, swimming in oceans and pools. And so I'm kind of an endurance athlete that does a lot of different things, but I guess I'm most well known for my running, and I enjoy all different aspects of endurance.
Yeah, we're going to go into those a little bit more, and you actually just answered one of my questions already, but so let's just kind of go along with that for the minute. You said your longest run was 135 miles.
My longest run is so far is 135 miles at one point. Okay. Like in one go, but my longest running, I guess, is a race like the Marathon des Sables, where it's 7 days, 6 days of running, and it was like 154 miles. And I think probably my biggest week has been maybe 180 to 190 miles.
Wow, that's amazing. And when you're running, how long did that take you, that 135 miles?
At that point, it was my longest run. It was the Badwater Ultra Marathon.
Okay.
It took me 26 hours and 20 some minutes or 30
Wow.
minutes. And then, but then I got to beat it last year. I ran 30 hours at UTMB, the Ultra Trail de Mont Blanc,
Okay.
around Mont Blanc in France and Switzerland and Italy. And that took around 30 hours. So
Wow.
the longest amount of time I've run so far is 30 hours. So.
So could you just kind of, for listeners and actually honestly myself a little bit too, could you tell us a little about, you said you ran for 30 hours, like is that continuously on your feet over that time, or like do you stop and have a break, or how does that work?
I wasn't planning on stopping and having any breaks, but that was continuously moving. There was some stops at the aid stations, but I didn't sleep or anything.
Okay.
So there was always trying to move forward. There were definitely some points where I stopped at the aid stations and got some fuel and changed out stuff, and I got super chafed, so I was
Yeah, I
trying
can
to
imagine.
find some yeah, exactly, right? I should have brought some type of body lube or something, but I didn't. So I was trying to find some at some of the aid stations. So that made it not as fast and efficient as it should have been, but I made it, and it was a great experience. It was one of those things that really humbles you and makes you into a better athlete, and those are the kind of experiences I'm looking for.
Yeah, and you're obviously well known with those with you're known for racing many marathons within a short amount of time, and if I have this right, you raced 54 times in 2014. Is that correct?
Yeah, you do have that right.
Yep.
Yeah, 54 to, well, 54 different events. Like some of those were, I did the uphill challenge at the Outdoor Retailer show. So it was kind of a race, but I mean, it wasn't in that I was only racing one other person. And then they combined everybody's results. So there was 15 different events, and in that 15 different groups of people went, and they took the fastest, or the person who went the most vertical in that amount of time. So I think Sage actually won, Sage Canada, and
Yep.
I was second. And then it was a bunch of other guys that are studs, like Max King and my friend Martine Gaffery from France is who I raced actually. So yeah, so it was really fun and something that I hadn't done before, and just a real hurt fest.
Yeah.
But it wasn't really a race, I guess.
Okay.
But yeah, but 54 different times
And
that
when
I
you said
did.
about staying vertical, you mean like literally trying to, not fall to the ground, or what does that mean when you say that?
Oh no, so it was on a treadmill. So it was
Oh, okay.
the uphill challenge is that you run 15% grade on a treadmill for 15 minutes, and whoever goes the most distance is the
Okay.
winner.
I see.
So it comes down to how fast can you go at 15% on a treadmill, and most people get around a mile and a half or so, and I think I made it a little bit further than that, and I think Sage made it almost to 2 miles. So it's tough. I mean, it's on from the very beginning, and you have to be very committed to what you're doing. So it was cool to be a part of. I think it's a really good challenge, actually.
Yeah. So speaking of challenges, it sounds like, you really enjoy just really testing your body and seeing what you can do. Like what is it about you that you what is it about a challenge that you really enjoy?
I think what I most enjoy about challenges or different things that are a little outside the norm is just seeing how I can cope with the different stressors that are involved with that. And then also, if I can do it, I think that's one of the factors. And then the other thing is how I'm going to deal with the discomfort that comes from it, because it's very different dealing with the discomfort that comes in a road marathon, for instance, than it is the discomfort that comes for climbing 5,000 feet of vertical. And those things are similar in that they're both very hard, but they're also different in how you execute and then how you can, you know, just not throw in the towel and be like, well, I'm only good at one thing and not the other. And that's what I find really interesting and fun about the different challenges. Like, you know, on a treadmill, it's really easy just to stop because you're done. It's almost like a loop course when you're going by the start and finish. Like, and if it's not going well, it's really easy to step off the track or the route. But when it's a point to point, it's a little bit more difficult because you're like, well, I'm 50 miles from the house, so I might as well just keep going because by the time I get back. So that's a mental challenge. So I love all the different aspects of it. And then the other thing about a point to point is like you might not see your crew or there might not be an aid station every 5 miles or 5 kilometers. Yeah. So you have to deal with carrying stuff and the weight that comes with that, especially as you start to fatigue later in a race and your arms get heavy and it's not as much, you're not as chipper as you are when you started at the beginning. So exactly. So you have to deal with it, with those aspects too. And then there's the tiredness. Like earlier, this weekend on Friday night, I did a run with some guys and we ran almost 50 kilometers. So, but I think it ended up being around 30 miles or so at the end of the night. But it was just basically because I usually do most of my training in the morning and at lunch, and I wanted to get some training in running at night because I'm doing the Western States 100 miler coming up at the end of the month. And I was figuring like, hey, I'm probably not going to finish before it gets to be night, especially night in my time zone. So I might as well be used to, you know, running at in the middle of the night. And so that was really fun and stuff like that. That was like, it wasn't a race, but it was a challenge just to drag yourself to meet everybody and then run from like 9 o'clock at night until like 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, wow.
But it was awesome.
Yeah. Having friends out there, I guess, will make a big difference at this point in the training.
Having friends there was awesome, especially friends that I don't get to run with all the time because I'm usually traveling somewhere. So it's been really nice the last week or so catching up with people that I haven't gotten to see for a while. And one of my buddies that I've just started running with like a couple of years ago, he'd never run past 10 o'clock at night. So for him, it was cool too, like to get his first experience running from one day to the next day. And he's training for his first 100 miler. So him getting that experience of being out at night and how you're going to deal with it. And I think that he was actually a little bit surprised at how powerful that fighting through when you're used to going to bed sensation is, which I also have trouble dealing with. So I just always feel like kind of like whiny and just like this isn't fun anymore. And I want to go to sleep now. So just trying to overcome that was really neat to see, and he did a great job, so it was really cool to be a part of. But he was starting to get bonky at the end and we had to walk a bit, and I think it was kind of humbling because he can knock out like a 30 mile run like all the time. You know, if we started at 5 o'clock in the morning and ran until like, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, he would be fine. But I think it was just the different time of day, your body's not as used to it. So
yeah,
it was
definitely
cool. It was cool for him to see that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, so it was really cool for him to see how different times of the day affect how your running will be.
Oh, absolutely. Especially if you're used to it. I remember in college we would sometimes have a 10K and it would be out in California, and it would be, you know, 10 o'clock at night in California, which was 1 a.m., you know, Eastern time. And you don't know what to do the few days before. You're like, should I adjust? Should I just deal with it on
roll
the day?
With it. And, yeah.
It's tough to figure it out.
Well, and it's kind of, that's what's kind of fun and the challenge. But when you're trying to really execute and run at your peak, like then it's not as fun just to like kind of wing it. Like you want to know what it's gonna be.
Yeah, so I'm guessing then that you take, you know, a lot of time to prepare for your races, you know, like you said about adjusting the time and you know, preparing. What other things do you do to make sure that you're ready for your races? I'm guessing you run a lot on the terrain, depending on what terrain it's going to be. And what other things do you do?
Well, I try to. I mean, I don't think that always happens just because of the schedule that I have and that I the life that I lead with working a full-time job and having kids. Like, I don't have the luxury, I guess, of going out in the real mountains from here. It's about an hour, an hour and a half each way, and so I'd rather run an hour and a half or 3 hours and not have that kind of travel time. So I sacrifice some of the big climbs. And even still, I mean, living in Washington, D.C., I'm not getting the big climbs like I would if I lived in Colorado or Flagstaff or somewhere like that. But yeah, I try to get on the terrain. I try to know a little bit about the course before I get there. And I try to use some of the other races leading up to a different race for training. But most of the time, if I step on the line, and then I'm there to race. And but if I can get some type of race-specific training in, I will. And I try to mimic the various aspects of the course. So, like, if it's hot, like, I've been doing all my runs the last couple of weeks, like, kind of dressed up like a abominable snowman, just getting ready for Western States, and I'm gonna go try to get in a sauna and just be super ready. So, like, the things that I can deal with, I do, but, like, stuff like altitude, living in sea level, it's just really hard to simulate that. So I just try to deal with it and get as fit as I can and be really committed to knowing that there's going to be some stuff that I can't take care of, and just kind of mentally prepare for that. And when it gets tough, just be like, well, I did what I could, and this is what I'm gonna do. And if it works, it usually I
Seems to work for you.
w yeah it usually it goes pretty good. I mean, like, I suffer at altitude for a while, but then my body kind of adjusts. And then sometimes I've had it like where I've not had it be a factor, so I still haven't kind of completely figured out the altitude thing, but that's what makes it cool to race at those type of extremes, is to figure it out, or to think you have it figured out, and then it doesn't quite go the way that you think, and then you have to problem solve and deal with all the various factors that come into that. And the nice thing is that you're kind of doing it in a safe environment where, like, if it's gets to be too much, you can just kind of be like, okay, I'm done now. Like, I don't want to do this anymore. But that being said, I usually make it to the finish line, and usually it goes pretty good.
So have you had some challenges? Like you said, you always like to find new ways to challenge yourself. Have you had some that you have had to say, I can't do this, this is too much, or like dropped out of?
Yeah, I think of races, I've dropped out of, I think, three different races, and it's kind of been all over. I've dropped out of the Boston Marathon 1 year because I just went out with the African guys and got
Oh
hammered.
dear.
And a bunch of them were dropping out, and I was like, oh, that looks like a good idea. And I've regretted that decision since then. And that's been probably like almost 15, 20 years worth ago. And then I've had other races where I should have dropped out probably because I was like, seriously, gonna be the last. I did this one race called the Chancellor Challenge. It was my first big race, is like where I was, like, you have a chance to win, and like I believed it without actually like being smart about how I was racing, and I was just doing what the guy next to me was doing, who had won the race before, and drinking all this stuff that I shouldn't have. And I ended up just throwing up for almost 10 hours. And I
Oh
think I was
no.
like one of the last guys to finish. And this little cart was like chasing me around, like this golf cart. My dad was like interfering with the guy and just like, hey, like, look over here. So then he was like, if that guy pukes one more time, he's out of the race. And so my dad would be like, hey, what's up? And then I would puke and then keep going. And so there's been other races where I haven't dropped out. And the last time, actually, I dropped out of a race last year just because I was the Zoutspitz 100K. It was a couple of weeks after I was in Ethiopia, and I had some like a lot of travelers to Ethiopia, I got a hold of something that I probably shouldn't have, and my belly wasn't super excited about it. And I was pretty beat up, and I went into this 100K and was trying to race up in the front, and I was doing a good job, and I was in the kind of the top 10 and got to like 80K, and I still felt kind of okay, but I was starting to go downhill a little bit, and the last 20K was just up the side of this mountain, and I was just getting all dehydrated, and I was kind of stumbling along the course, and it was bad because there was runners coming from, it was, you kind of, like a lot of races in Europe, they start different races around the same track at different times. So I was running into some of the shorter distance guys, and I was just, it was just a very small single track, and I was kind of not in control of my body as well as I should have been. And I was just like, this is not just dangerous for me, but I could bump into somebody. And I got to the last aid station, and I was like, I tried to eat and it just wasn't working. And then I tried to drink and that wasn't working. And I just sat there for a while and I was just like, I don't know if I can keep going. And one of the medics kept coming over and checking on me. And eventually he's like, you're not allowed to go anywhere.
Are they allowed to do that in races? Like they're a medic?
Oh yeah. So if they deem that you're not fit to continue, even if you're like, no, I want to go, they can pull you out.
Okay.
So I was, it was probably good that he did, but, I was also at the point where I was nervous about not just myself, but it's okay as long as you can know when that point is, but it's sometimes you get a little bit jaded by wanting to accomplish something, and maybe you don't take as good a care of yourself as you should. But I try to be pretty cognizant of always being safe about these things, and it was a good decision. But it's weird when you come down the mountain on a like backboard rather than bombing down the mountain on your own 2 feet. So hopefully that won't happen again anytime soon.
And do you have any advice for someone who may be in a race like that where they, you know, they're really bad, and like when do they know when to kind of pull the plug? Do you have any advice based on your experience?
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to like knowing yourself, and like, you know, some guys I know are just pukers. Like they just, they know it's going to happen. It's like other guys I know after like 45 minutes, they're going to need to go to the bathroom. And, but if you can't, if you get to a point where you can't, you're no longer, in complete control of yourself, or you're a little bit, out of control, or you're not thinking as clearly, then maybe it's time to just get some help at the, especially if there's an aid station and they can take a look at you, or if you have any friends that are on the course and they're talking to you and it's not making any sense, like that's probably not good. But a lot of times if you just get to the aid station and get some water and you can eat some food and kind of get yourself back, that happens a lot in races. You know, you find those little oases in darkness, and it pulls you out of it. So that's really cool. I mean, that's what you look for, is that you're kind of going and putting your body in these places and your mind to see what you can accomplish and what you can overcome. And and discomfort is one of those things. So it's a fine line. And I think at the end of the day, like it's supposed to be controlled. Like if you're out of control or you're reckless and you can hurt yourself or someone else, then it's probably not good to continue anymore. But if it's just hard and you're not doing serious damage to your body, then maybe you can keep going if you get the right nutrition in and you can hold it. I mean, my body was just rejecting everything, which was not good. And you know, I ended up getting IVs and then I felt a ton better, surprisingly. Yeah. But, you know,
definitely made the right choice.
Yeah. But, and, you know, it was also like, my family was there. So that was a hard decision. Like, you know, to know that my boys were going to see me in a hospital room, like, but I just didn't think it was worth the chance of hurting somebody else. So,
yeah, definitely.
And I think that was a good experience for them. Like this, the stuff that we do is cool, and it's fun to stand on the podium, but it's also, part of it is, you know, sometimes you don't reach your goals, and you know, then you have to just figure it out and work harder. And
that's good for you to mention that, because, you know, people think when someone's as successful as you are that it's always, you know, you always do it and you always succeed.
Right,
but sometimes, you know, you're only human. So that's good to know.
And everybody makes, you know, everyone makes mistakes or makes decisions that, you know, aren't the best for themselves and for others. And mm-hmm. you just have to kind of own those. And then, you know, I was able to learn, like, I work with a bunch of companies, and I realized, like, I have a lot of tools at my disposal, and I wasn't using those tools in the best manner I should have. So I went without some handheld bottles, and I like the handheld bottles because I can tell exactly how much I'm drinking. So I had a hydration pack on, which I is a great resource, but I wasn't taking the time to fill it as much as I should have because I was so busy trying to stay in the top 10. So I wasn't drinking as much as I should have. So I learned, like, never sacrifice your hydration for 20 seconds. It's going to take you to take the stupid hydration pack off your back and fill it up, you know?
Yeah.
And then also that you had to, it was a literalist race. So you had to use these little cups or they wouldn't fill your bottles for you. And my cup kept breaking. So I should have just, tested this cup a lot more, strenuously than I did. I was like, oh, this works. But when you're running and coming into an aid station, I kept blowing the thing up. So then I kept trying to, and it wouldn't hold any water. So and then it wouldn't fill your bottles unless you use this cup. So it was just like, that was a little nugget of the race information that I couldn't know or I didn't know. And it was really costly. So like those little fine details, like, okay, sure, that you have to carry a cup, but it doesn't have to be the stupid cup that they give you. You could just bring your own little cup that actually works. So like, I should have known that, but I didn't, but now I do. And that will never happen again. And,
you learned from it.
Yeah. And the same with like the handhelds, like I make sure that now if there's a section, and I also know that I need a lot more water than like, if it says like, oh, you only need one, or if some guy's like, oh, I only ever use one there, and then I probably need two because I just like more water.
Sounds like kind of with the, you know, how they say in the marathon, you should never try anything new on race day, and you really just have to kind of play around and what works for you. But it seems like with the further you go, the kind of more this is important. You need really need to learn what works for you and try things out. Really read the fine print of the race information and make sure you're as prepared as you can be.
Right. And I think the other thing about that is that just because it's worked in for you in the past doesn't mean it's always going to work. So if it doesn't, make sure that you can problem solve or overcome that and not just kind of give up, you know? So like if you're used to taking gel and all of a sudden you can't eat gels, well, you still need calories. So, you know, or like I take Vitargo, like if you are drinking Vitargo and it works for 8 hours, and then at 9 hours, all of a sudden your stomach's like, I don't want that anymore. Like, you got to figure something else out. So being open to changing things as you're moving through the event.
Okay, that's good. Good advice there. And how about when it comes to, you know, we've already talked about how often you race. Sure a lot of people are wondering, how do you stay healthy? I mean, is your training schedule just racing and recovering, or how do you go about staying healthy during all these races?
I think, just for racing so much, I think that I love being out there, and I love the different people I get to meet and the different places that I'm getting to explore. And for me, it's really motivating to do the training to get to the results that I'm looking for in the various events, and it's a nice cycle because that feeds me to make me want to train. And I enjoy the training a lot. But between the races, I'm still training. So like I'm still doing some faster stuff, some hillier stuff, and then trying to recover also. But I'm kind of lucky in that I can recover my body pretty quickly, but I also have a big capacity for being motivated to race again, where I think some people, they put so much effort and mental preparation and energy into the events and when they're done, they're just like, I need a break. Like, I just need not just a break for my body, but also mentally, like, I don't want to do that again for any time soon. And so I think that being mentally, dispositioned for wanting to get back out there and start training as soon as I can really helps me be able to recover faster. So.
Yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. And the person you just talked about who needs emotionally some time, I've always said that the time I take after a race off is more for my mental, emotional side than physically. So
exactly. And I think that there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I think it's just that's the cool thing is there's no right way to do this. And I think that's what's the coolest part about what we all are doing is like there's so many different ways to achieve your goals. It doesn't mean that one way's better than the other. It's just for me, that's what kind of gets me motivated and out there and excited about it. And for you, it might be the one or two races that you really target a year and those are what get you motivated to go out and do the long training run you were talking about this morning. Like, I mean, that's not everybody gets up on a Sunday morning and is going to go for a long run, but it's something that gets you fired up to be out there training and doing what you want.
Yeah, definitely. Would you say your body gets used to it then, the training that you do as well? You said that, it gets used to back-to-back marathons and back-to-back ultra races.
Oh, yeah. I think your body is one of the most amazing pieces of machinery or pieces of technology or whatnot. It's this incredibly adaptive vehicle. And the it's just like anything. And that's why I think you have to change up what you're doing or else you kind of plateau because it's going to be very efficient. I mean, you could run with one leg and that one leg would become incredibly strong. Like there's like a Simpsons where Homer just walks around just lifting one dumbbell and his right forearm gets super big and really strong. But like, yeah, I mean, that's part of the challenge is trying to make sure that you don't reach these plateaus and trying to change things up so that you keep evolving. And hopefully that's what I'm doing by doing these different events. And I think I just did a trail runner article where it was saying like using, road to run well on trails. But I think it also works the other way as trails for roads. And there's a lot of different tools out there that you can use to kind of keep evolving and getting better and faster and stronger. And all the things that you kind of want to, or at least that I'm looking for, is to try to get better as an athlete. And I think that also helps you become a better person because you just have more capacity to do things.
Yeah, definitely. And how do you come up with your challenges? Like, I kind of imagine this to be a situation where most of us are out on a run and we have a crazy idea comes through our head, but we think, oh, I'll never do that. But you kind of like, oh, actually, I'm going to do that. Like, how do you come up with what you're going to do next?
Yeah, it's kind of a compilation of things. Like a lot of times I'll see something like when I saw pushing the kids in the pram. So the world record for pushing a baby in a jog stroller, I was just running my own marathon in Toronto. And I saw this guy pushing his kid in a jog stroller. And I was like, man, if I ever have a kid, I want to do that. Like that would be awesome. And so I was like, I just knew that it was going to happen. It was really cool. And it's like, I have an idea to run across like the Panama Canal and I'm like, it's going to happen. I just need to find the time to make that happen. And like when I did the treadmill, I was just like, yeah, I want to do that. And the treadmill 50K world record, there was a woman on Twitter that I saw that was going for it. And I was like, oh, I've wanted to do that. Like what? I don't really have anything going on this weekend besides a Spartan race. Like I could totally do that. And so that's how that came about. But I think what's cool is like having the fitness so that you can kind of do these things and you can use that fitness to do all kinds of cool things. It doesn't necessarily have to be like setting a world record or competing in a race, but I always wanted to go on a 100-mile bike ride and, I did it for Ironman, but I hadn't done it in a long time since then. And I was just like talking to my buddy at our kids swimming And I was like, yeah, I knew he was a cyclist. I was like, I want to go for a century ride sometime. He's like, me too. And then we were like, what are you doing tomorrow afternoon? And he was like, I don't know. I could get out of work early. And I was like, I could too. Let's just do it. So like we did it on a Monday afternoon, and we rode from like 5 in the afternoon until like 2 o'clock in the morning. And it was awesome. But it was just because you have this fitness and you can do all kinds of cool things with it. So that's the other reason I love being in shape, I guess, or with the capacity to do these things, is like spontaneity is cool. Like this 50K run I did on Friday night, I was just talking with my friend, like you were saying, we were just running, and I was like, I did a 50 mile like that in before Badwater in 2011, and I thought it was like the coolest thing. It was just loops, and people could come out and do like 10, it was like, it's almost a 10 mile loop, so they could just come and do one loop or two or three. And so that's what we did last night. But it came from my buddy Prince and I were just running, and I was like, yeah, I want to do another night run. And so then I just put something out on social media, and with the ability to connect with people now, it's really cool. So you can just put up something that looks fun and people can come and take part in it if they want. And I think on Friday night, I think we had 6 or 7 people for a couple of laps. And then like my brother came out and did half a lap, and then we had some other people that came out for a couple laps, and then there was 3 of us left at the end. And we just kind of, you know, you can do these things if you think of them. And a lot of times for me, it's like seeing stuff on social media, or it's something that comes to me on a run, or like the first time I did Marathon de Sable, one of my roommates was like, you should do this. And like, I have that a lot where people like give me these opportunities because they're like, I don't know, this guy's open to it.
And yeah, they know so, you, yeah.
Yeah, like, they would, like, I'm not going to be like, oh, no, I'd never do that. Like, there's so many things I didn't think I'd do. Like, when I won the North Pole marathon last year, like, the UVU North Pole marathon, like, I was a super afraid of running in the cold, and I got the opportunity to do it, and now it's opened up so many other opportunities because it's not as intimidating when you've run in those kind of conditions. Mm-hmm. But I was freaking out, like, and I think that it's fun to do things that scare you. I mean, yeah. That's what's cool is, like, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't work out. But if you don't try, you'll never know.
Yeah, this is inspiring me, actually. It's good to hear that, you know, you should listen to those little crazy thoughts you have every now and again about trying things. I know I'm very guilty of... I want to stick to my schedule. If it says 9 miles, I'm going to do 9 miles. And so this is a good lesson for all of us listening out here to, you know, sometimes you have those crazy thoughts, and, you know, why not listen to it and try it? Like you said, all you can do is not finish, and you can try again. So,
yeah, I mean, and that's what's cool about it. But that being said, like, when I first started, like, I was exactly like you. I was like, I got a schedule from my friend Vicky Boysen's, my friend Vince Boysen, his mom Vicky Boysen, like, made me this schedule. So, because I just wanted to do one marathon once, Boston Marathon is what I wanted to do. And then I didn't realize you had to qualify. So then I was like, okay, 2 marathons, I'll be done. But like, it had a schedule, like you're saying, and it was just from this book, and it said run 9 miles, and it would be like a monsoon out, and I'd be like, I'm running 9 miles.
Yeah.
And so like, and I did like a 13 miler in like on a 1/8 of a mile track because it was like -20 out, and I just didn't want to be outside. And I also wanted the challenge of seeing if I could do it. And so, like, I guess I've been doing these weird things. Like, I remember, like, way back where I was, like, in middle school, and someone said, like, you could ride to D.C., and I lived in Oakton, which is about, like, 15 miles or so, maybe a little more even from the D.C. line. And I just thought, like, that's insane. Like, that's not possible. Like, no one can ride that far. Like, and then I tried to do it, and I made it, and it was so empowering. And I think, like, so many of these things are like that. Like, until you see that someone can do it, you're like, that's not even possible. And like, that's the same way I felt when someone told me that people run 50 miles. I was like, that's a lie. Like, that's not true. Like, and then you see it, and then you do it, and you're like, oh my gosh, I just did that. Like, how cool is that? I can't believe that. And I still get that feeling. Like, when I finish these things, I'm like, first I'm like, I just can't believe that I was able to do that, and that I had the opportunity to do it, and that then I start thinking, like, well, if I did that, I could do something even more crazy or more challenging. So I think for me, it's always like trying to find that next level and do something even more exciting than the last thing.
Yeah, you'll never know unless you try, kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a great lesson for us all out here. And so how can you kind of prove to us here that you're not a superhuman? I mean, maybe you are, but how can we know here that you're just a normal guy and not some superhuman who can handle these challenges?
I don't know.
You have two kids. Two kids, correct?
Yeah, so totally. I have a lot of the same responsibilities that many middle-aged, I guess, is what they call me. So I'm 41 years old, and I live in a suburb of Washington, D.C. called Arlington, Virginia. And yeah, exactly. So it's a nice little homey place, and we have, like, the 2.5 kids and the Volvo and the soccer practices and baseball and swimming, and kids are doing their third triathlon, I think, next weekend. And you know, I'm about to go mow the lawn after after this. So and then I work full-time at an international ship brokerage, so I work you know, from like 9 to 5. It's pretty flexible because the people that I work with, Keith and Marielle, are insanely awesome. But so they let me work remotely all over the world, but I'm still working, and so I have the responsibilities that come with that, with being responsive to people. And then, you know, we're pretty active in our community, so, you know, keeping up with friends, helping with events, and I don't know. I have a lot of the same responsibilities other people have, and I just try to. I'm pretty passionate about being also an elite professional athlete, and so it's fun trying to find the balance that comes with all these different aspects of my life. And I like that juxtaposition of, you know, being on the top of a mountain one day and then the next day being back in the office, taking calls and answering emails. And yeah, I think that's what keeps me motivated, but it also keeps me normal, I guess, in that I'm not like living on in some hut in the middle of Nepal because it's good for my training. Like, I still live at, you know, I live at sea level, and I have to, you know, answer emails and and talk to people and prepare reports and like my little TPS reports, you know, like I know what it's like to load PC load letter. Like, I get all that kind of office dynamics that go with working in an office. And so I guess I'm normal in that sense. And I wasn't an elite runner growing up, so I played lacrosse, like a normal transition, just to try to stay fit. So I haven't always been an elite runner. So I've been sitting out in the fields in Boston for 4 hours waiting for the start. And you know, been one of the guys who had to line up in the further back corrals. So it's been cool to see my progression and know that if I can do it, that other people can too. So that's what I think is neat, is like, I didn't start out as like a sub 4 minute miler or like a big all American in college or high school or anything like that. I didn't run cross country. And I actually used to make fun of runners because they look so skinny and just like kind of, they were just different than lacrosse players, and thought we were cool. We thought we were cooler, and the football players thought they were cooler than us. And you know, it's just one of those things where we shared a locker room, and I always was like, everyone's like, oh, you should go out for that, because I was pretty good at the running part of lacrosse. And I was like, no, I can't be bothered with that. I want to be the best lacrosse player I can be. You know, I really was focused on that and dedicated to it and passionate about it. And I didn't want to take time away from that to pursue something else. But then I like talk to all my friends now that like ran cross country and had those track experiences, and I wish maybe I would have done some of that stuff. But I think that it's allowed me not to lose my passion for running. Like,
yeah.
I'm still like as excited and just motivated to become the best runner I am, and I don't really have anything to compare it against, where I think a lot of the other athletes are like, oh, you know, I used to run
the good old days.
And that being said, like, I have coached lacrosse with some guys, and like we all talk about the glory days. Like, they should like have it like glaring over the speakers, you know, like, oh, you know, I can paint the corners, you know. So it's no different in any other sport. But yeah, like, I still feel like I'm growing and,
yeah,
and becoming even more accomplished in getting to know myself and mm-hmm. and kind of seeking that next level. So I'm almost glad I didn't have those experiences, because I know so many runners, like, by the time they're done with college, they're just kind of ready for a break.
Burned out, yeah.
Yeah, they're just kind of done with it. And so, like, that's, I think, helped me be able to kind of still be super excited about it, is that I didn't start as early as others. And what's neat, too, is you see, like, those, like, there was, like, a 90-year-old woman this week that was, like, just finished a marathon, but she didn't start running until she was, what, like, 70 or something? Like,
yeah.
And that's, like, awesome. Like, how just freaking cool is that? And those kind of things, like, I want to be in the sport for a long time, like, doing, like, that stuff. So, like, I saw, like, this really cool race between, like, I don't know, like, a 90-year-old guy and, like, a 95-year-old guy, and it was, like, a indoor track.
Oh, I saw that
Masters
video.
It was really cool. But I was thinking, like, I want to take that guy's record when I'm like 90. So, like, stuff like that, like, I still have like 50 years, but it's in my head, you know. So that's the kind of stuff, like, you don't really see unless you're out there doing stuff. And with social media,
from what we know of you so far, you're going to do that.
I hope so.
So, no, that's great. And that definitely kind of proves it a bit more. And it's good to see that, you know, like you said, it wasn't about college, and it wasn't even when you were younger. It was more, you know, the whole thing you've been talking about all along, you'll never know unless you try. And it was only you trying out all these different things and accepting these challenges that really allowed you to see what you were capable of. So it's a great lesson for us all to learn.
Yeah, and I think I'm still trying to do that. So
yeah,
like, there's always like the next cool thing and the different ways to challenge yourself. It doesn't always have to be something, and I think it almost is better when it's something you're not particularly skilled at. Like,
yeah.
Like last year, the open water swim I did a 3-mile open water swim. And I think I was one of the last guys, like I was chasing the cutoff, like the little kayaker cutoff person was like, dude, are you going to finish? I'm like, I'll get there. And by the end, I was completely worked. But it was awesome. I felt like king of the world, you know, and that's what I think is neat, is like, I'm not a good swimmer, but it was one of those things that was super fun because you're not particularly skilled at it. And those are fun challenges just as much as, you know, running in the Olympic trials or at the world championship.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And you should start thinking about accepting challenges, like having people, you know, tweet at you and say, I bet you can't do this. And you'd be like, all right, I'm going to do it. Like, give you
that
ideas.
Sounds awesome.
Maybe,
like,
you can do that.
Like, I feel like everyone would be like, it'd become like Fear Factor, and they'd be like, make me eat like bugs or something.
Okay, well, do you want to accept that? Like, anyone listening to this podcast right now, if you want to tweet at Mike, what is your Twitter handle?
It's at Mike Wardian. Yeah, that's right. Totally awesome. Yeah, totally. The one thing is, like, I have a lot of events coming up, but yeah, man, maybe we could do like...
Well, it could be in a list in that.
Yeah. We could totally make a list. That sounds awesome.
Okay.
What a good idea.
I'm going to think of a good one. And the day this comes out, I'm going to tweet one at you.
Okay, that sounds like a plan. Totally.
Well, speaking of that...
We'll have to have like a hashtag, like Mike's challenges or...
Yeah.
or crazy, I don't know, crazy challenge
Yeah,
or
we'll
I
come
don't
up
know.
with
Yeah, we'll
crazy
have to come up
challenge.
with something cool.
Yeah. Actually, speaking of this, I don't know if you realize, but and our listeners probably have no idea, but when I was running the Rock and Roll DC Half Marathon, for like the last 5 miles, I remember hearing "Go Spidey, go Spider-Man," and I only realized recently that was you. I don't know if you remember being near a girl in the first half, but that was me. If
Oh,
you
that
do,
was t I totally. I think we were talking actually.
I
Like,
maybe.
what were you like first or second or something?
I
Like,
was third. Yeah.
yeah, totally. You probably ran around the same time I did.
Yeah, well, you kept going, didn't you?
I kept
Yeah.
going, but like I couldn't pass you. My legs were just trashed. Like I was like, God, I gotta drop this girl, and I could not get around you.
Yeah, that was
And
me.
yeah, totally. That's so funny. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, I
And I
only
was
realized
like,
that recently.
oh, I was trying to set a world record, and my legs were just not there that day. And I ended up suffering. I think that was one of my slowest races of the year. And it was rainy. Yeah,
Yeah, it was
totally.
cold. Yeah. Well, there you go. It was that was one way we have actually technically already met.
Yeah,
I just
that's
thought
so
that was
awesome.
funny.
Yeah, you were having a nice race. I
I
mean,
it was
you
okay.
were
It was
moving.
a good step in the right direction. The rain was slowing me down a little bit, I like to think. I don't know.
It was probably Spider-Man. You were just too busy looking at my
I was
muscles,
it
my
was
fake
good though.
muscles.
I was listening to people yelling for you and kind of using it to myself. Like I remember people saying like, "You're all superheroes," and thinking, "Yeah, that's true." Like
Totally.
so yeah, you
Yeah,
did
awesome.
help me in a roundabout way.
Oh, well, good. Well, usually it's like I don't want to get beat by a guy that's dressed up like a superhero. Like that usually motivates people like no end. Like for me, it was like I don't ever want to lose to a guy with no shirt on. Like I was like, I do not want to lose to a guy that doesn't wear a shirt. And then I kept getting my ass beaten by guys with no shirt. So I've kind of like amended that rule. Like I want to kind of be near the guy with no shirt on.
That's funny. Although it's funny, I think we were probably on a level because you were in the spot in the costume and I was a girl, so probably balanced out. We both were running
I don't
around.
know. You look pretty strong. I was just trying to hang on. I was actually thinking about drafting you at one point,
Oh, I don't know about that. That's funny. Great story here. So there's one more thing I want you to kind of tell our listeners about, as it only happened recently and many of them may not have heard about. Can you tell us the story about the your two treadmill 50Ks? You briefly mentioned it earlier, but it's quite a good story behind it. So would you share that with us?
Oh yeah, sure. So yeah, I think that was in March. I was lucky enough to be invited to participate on the Spartan Cruise, which I don't know if anyone knows the Spartan races, but it's the obstacle course racing. And I did my first one last year because it was one of these things where I have like the little scrawny, bony upper body, and I was like, I want to try to do this. This looks cool, and I got smoked, but I loved it. Like the kids loved it. They have like a Spartan kids race. I loved it. Like I loved the fact that I wasn't one of the top guys at it, and like I could barely even get some of the stuff up. Like I failed a bunch of the obstacles, but I got the opportunity to do the Spartan Cruise, and I was like, yes! Like I jumped at it. I was like, this is gonna be awesome. The family went with me, so we all did the cruise together, and the kids got to do their race, and I got to race against like the best guys in Spartan, and they call it OCR, Obstacle Course Racing World. Like they brought a bunch of their pros in. And so I got a real good chance to see where I stand and like what I can do better. But I also saw this tweet, like we were saying, like this challenge stuff before, but I saw a tweet from a woman in London that was going for the 50K world record on the treadmill that same weekend as the Spartan race. And I was like, oh, I want to do that at some point, because I love treadmills and I think it's fun to
I
try
don't
to set world
understand that,
records.
but okay, keep going.
So anyhow, I think treadmills are really cool, actually. I think they're a great tool. And if you, and especially because it's so hard, because you can step off at any time, you know, it's almost like a really good mental challenge.
Oh yeah, when that button is right there in front of you.
Yes,
Yeah.
especially when it's not just there, but when it starts to get really, really hard and it's right there and it's just like talking to you, like, just touch me, just touch me. Like, it'll be,
it's bright red.
It's almost like the torture you see in some of those movies, right? Like, just tell me the name of the person, you know? And you're like, I can make this all go away. And it's like, that's like the button, you know? Like, you're like, ah, I don't want to. So anyhow, so I did the Spartan race and it was great. You know, I think I was near the top 50 or whatever. I don't know if it was like, I wanted to like show these guys I was a real athlete or not, but I was like, I could do the rest of the trip is open. Like, and I saw a treadmill on the ship. I bet I could do a world record on the treadmill on the ship. And so I talked to my host, which was one of these guys that kind of, this guy's name is Richard Diaz. He's also a podcast blogger, really amazing coach. And he was like, yeah, well, you should talk to Joe, who's the founder of Spartan Race. And I was like, okay, cool. And so he brought me over. And I figured it'd be like the next day because this was a Saturday and we had all day Sunday. So I figured like, oh, the kids, you know, will hang out, go to the beach and, you know, I could do it at night after the kids go to bed or something. And he's like, I talked to Joe and Joe's like, how about 7 o'clock tonight? And I was like, okay. And I just said yes because I was like, I don't know when there's going to be another time to do it. And so I did it that Saturday night and I did very poor research because I didn't do any research until the day that after he said, yeah, let's do it. And I got on like the wireless on the cruise ship, which is like insanely expensive, but it's also super slow. So I only made it to like the first page of Google and I didn't see anyone set the world record for 50K. So I'm like, as long as I finish, I should be fine. And so I did the record, or I thought I did the record, and I sent a tweet out, and it said, like, oh, I ran 306, and at the end of the thing, like, I could have gone a lot faster, but I just kind of was like, no one said it, and this feels, like you were saying earlier when we were talking about the treadmill, like, it started to get really, really hard at, like, 25 miles, so I slowed down a little bit, and, you know, it made me run a little bit slower. And then I sent the tweet out like, oh, I ran 306. I think I set a world record. And like, then I went to bed, but I was all kind of jacked up from it because it was like really cool. And there's a bunch of people came to it. And, somebody in Europe, in London, in Centurion Running, actually, they're really cool. They put on a bunch of cool races and I haven't been to any yet, but they're on my list. But they sent a tweet back saying like, yeah, that's really cool, but you didn't set the record. My friend set the record. It's 305. And I was like, no way. Are you kidding me? Like, it was like 40 seconds faster. And I was like, I could have done that in the last mile. Like, that's bogus. And then I was like, felt like such a fraud. Like, cause I was like, everyone on the ship thought I set a world record. Cause so did I. And so then I was like, oh man, what am I going to do? And then I was like, wait, I could just do it again. Like, I can just do it again.
As you do.
Yeah, as you do. And so I found Joe and I was like, I'm sorry, I'm a liar. I didn't set the record. He's like, well, you know what you got to do? And I was like, yes, I know what I got to do. And he's like, let's do it again. And I was like, yes, let's do it again. So, but I was like, I don't want to like mess my family vacation up now that the Spartan race is over and they've done their Spartan race. And we're supposed to like go to the beach and, you know, I was supposed to throw the boys all day and let them run on my back and, you know, just do dad stuff all day. So let's just do it at like 3 o'clock in the morning before we get into port. And so I was like, yes, let's do that. So he was like, I don't care when we wake up. And I was like, okay, I don't care either. So we just woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning and got on the treadmill and we were supposed to berth at 7 and I finished at like 3:03 and I set the record and it was awesome. And then I've actually broken 3 hours now.
Oh.
Like 3 weeks ago I broke it at the Hoka 1-1 sales meeting. So to start the sales meeting they had me try to set it to break my own world record and I managed it by like 13 seconds. So it was pretty awesome.
So wait, you
So
say
yeah.
you started the meeting, but how does the 3 hours start a meeting? That's a
Well, yeah, it was cool. So everyone didn't have to watch me the entire time. So like I started running at like 4:30 in the afternoon, and the meeting started at 7. So
Okay.
like right as I was getting near the finish line, people were coming in and like getting their cocktails and like so like it was kind of really cool, but it was also like a lot of pressure. It was like the worldwide sales meetings, and they had like live tweeting going on and Periscope and all these really just cool, amazing things. And they made up a bunch of shirts that said like "Let's go, Mike," that were just super awesome.
Awesome.
And they like had like pimp treadmills and like it was really amazingly well done. Like so many of the things that they do. So I was just really, I was like, I can't not do this. Like they've teed this up for
Yeah.
perfection. So I was really happy to be able to do it, 'cause it was only like a week after I won the Wings for Life World Run in Australia, and we'd just flown in from Australia the day
Wow.
before. So
Wow.
like yeah, so you're talking about some serious jet lag. Like
Yeah, yeah.
that was like crazy jet lag.
Yeah, I can
But that was
imagine.
also like I said, like that's one of the fun challenges is like how do you deal with the jet lag and the effort and the pressure, and that's kind of all that stuff that makes it exciting. And so yeah, so I've set the world record twice. I tried three times, and I thought I did three times, but I only actually did twice.
Great story. That's really kind of sums everything up. And well, that's about all the questions I have.
Okay.
I have one more thing that I want to ask you that I ask all my guests, which is if you could give one word to describe what you would like to become, accomplish, or achieve this year, what would it be and why?
One word
Any
to
for
just.
everything in your life or anything in your life.
Yeah, I think it's my tagline that I've put on my clothing and hats that I started making, but it's relentless. And I think I'd
Relentless,
like,
great. Yep.
yeah, I think
Okay.
that's something that I'm trying to aspire to be,
Yeah.
not just in my life, but also like following up with everything.
Yeah.
So from my running to being responsive to people, but just being completely engaged and relentless with accomplishing things, and
Yeah,
then
no, that's a great one.
being a part, taking part in life in general. So
And I'll put
always being
a,
engaged.
yeah, that awesome. And I'll put a link actually to that if you're selling the hats for people to click on if they want to
Yeah,
find them.
exactly. Yeah,
And
that
that.
would be awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna actually, someone was like, "Oh, I went to buy your hats on your website." Or a shirt on your website, and I didn't see a link. And I was like, well, that's because there isn't one, because I just put it on social media, but I should totally have a link on my
Okay, well maybe
website.
you will by the time this
Yeah,
airs,
yeah,
so.
yeah. So I'll definitely try to get that taken care of.
Yeah, that would be great. And then do you have just any parting advice for listeners who think, hopefully they're convinced by now, but if they think, these acts or these kind of crazy challenges aren't for them?
Yeah, I think you just should try to do. I think one of the biggest things is just try to find something that excites you and then go for it. I
Yeah.
mean, there's no harm done. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of these things are done, and most of them are done so that you're going to succeed. Like everything's set up for you to succeed. Like they have aid stations and they have pacers and they have so many volunteers on some of these various things. Like everybody's there so that you can have the best experience possible, and there's no reason why you can't do it. So I think find something that excites you and then sign up for it, or if it's a challenge that you just come up with on your own, just make time to do it and then get approval from everyone in your life so that you don't cause any distraught, and then go for it.
Yeah.
And that's what I think is the coolest aspect of these various things, is that you don't necessarily have to do a race, but that's a really safe place and a really nice place to challenge yourself. But you can just come up with your own challenge. I mean, it could be going up your stairs like 5,000 times in the course of a day or something. Like it doesn't have to be super costly, or you don't have to travel around the world, but it's definitely really cool if you can, because
Yeah.
then you get to meet different people and see how they attack attack these things and how they live. And I think that's one of the neatest things that I've been lucky enough to be able to do, is to show my family different parts of the world that we might not be able to see just because of these things. And I hope to be able to continue to do that. Someone was asking me on my run the other night, like, how many countries have you been to and how many places have you raced? And I was like, I don't even know. Like, but I think that that's something that I need to kind of delve into, because I'd like to try to touch my body and hopefully have that experience almost anywhere. So that's what I think is neat, is you can do these things and push yourself, and, you know, why not take advantage of that opportunity? We only go around once, so it's super, super cliche, but, you know, if not now, when, you know, and it always, there's always going to be a better time to do something. So just, you know, the circumstances don't have to be perfect. Just get moving and get out there, and you can accomplish amazing things, and you'd be surprised where you'll end up.
Yeah, great advice. And what a great way to finish. So, Mike, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it. And I'm sure our listeners have learned a lot and been inspired. And we'll think of a good hashtag and have everyone challenge you a little bit.
All right, that sounds great.
Great. Thank you so much.
All right, talk to you.
What an interview. Don't you just love his attitude towards life? He's so full of energy, full of excitement for challenges and for things that put him through so much pain. But it brings so much joy in that accomplishment. We all know how good that feels at the end of a race when you complete that goal of yours. So why aren't we taking more time to challenge ourselves, as that's when we feel the most alive? Mike is a great example of how attitude can change everything. So don't forget to tweet your challenges at him at Mike Wardian and tag runners_connect in the post with the hashtag RCChallengeWardian. Wardian is spelled WARDIAN. Mike is going to have one challenge per month that takes him under 2 hours to complete, and one epic challenge for the year. It's up to you which you choose to tweet at us. Mike is going to pick the best challenges and take them on. Be sure you use the hashtag RCChallengeWardian so we can find them. Let's see what you come up with. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you have any suggestions or guests you would like to hear from, you can email me, tina@runnersconnect.net. Have a great week of running. And remember, challenge yourself.